Welcome to a very special edition of Public Perspectives this morning on AM 1340 KXEO. I have Mr. Paul Pepper in the studio with us this morning, and James Mouser has come along, and everyone will remember Paul. He doesn't need an introduction, as his face and his voice is very familiar to the Mid-Missouri area with Pepper and Friends. I want to give you a welcome, guys.
Thank you. It's a real pleasure to be here and to be a part of the 70th anniversary celebration of KXEO.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's a milestone. And local radio stations are so important to the community. And you guys have been an integral part of the community for 70 years. That's a long time.
It is a very long time. I've been a part of it for a very brief time, but I grew up in Mexico here, graduated from the high school, and KXEO has been around and really touched the community, kind of like what your show did, Pepper and Friends, for many years.
Yeah, Pepper and Friends was and always will be the dearest part of my heart in my professional life. I always wanted to do a show like Pepper and Friends, and when the opportunity came along, it was a dream come true for me, and I was living that dream of doing that show. It was on the air for what, 27 years. It was on the air for 27 years. And sometimes I'd have to pinch myself. Am I really doing this? Is this really happening? And you know, what was so special about it was that James and I didn't consider it our show. We considered it a show of the community. And at one point or another, I think almost everybody in Central Missouri had walked through our studio doors. And, you know, we've been off the air at 8 for 9 years now. But there isn't, whenever you go out, there isn't a time that goes by that somebody doesn't come up and say, "Hey, I was on Pepper and Friends back when so-and-so or my grandchild was on Pepper and Friends." And that's nice. That's nice to hear.
Well, it was just such an outstanding show, and as you said, a lot of folks, almost everybody in the community was on, and then they would tell their friends about it, you know, "Hey, you know, my nephew's going to be on the show, tune in and watch today," from the local high school.
Yeah.
And you just did so much with that, and I really want to focus in on that a little bit more here, but what I want to find out first is, how did you get involved in the broadcasting industry?
It was always my dream. I grew up about 20 miles from St. Louis, out in the country. And I used to watch Charlotte Peters on KSD TV in St. Louis. And Charlotte did a show almost identical to what Pepper and Friends was. In fact, I patterned Pepper and Friends off of Charlotte Peters' show. And I remember when I was 7, 8 years old, I would go down in the basement at home, and I'd build a little television studio set, and I'd get the vacuum cleaner cord, and that would be my microphone that, that I would hold, and I'd do a little pretend show down in the basement. My sister was always my guest, and she would get so upset with me. She'd get so upset with me, but I pretended that I had my own little television studio, and I'd get lamps. I'd take some of my mom's lamps and suspend them from the ceiling so they would look like, you know, lights. But that was always my dream. And then I started working in radio at KJCF in Festus, Missouri, a station almost like KXEO. And I was a DJ there. And then I used to promote country music shows back then. We had some really nice name stars. We had Loretta Lynn, we had Marty Robbins, we had the Osborne Brothers. And so that was kind of giving me the ability to perform on stage along with the really big stars, you know. And while I was working at KJCF, and then I was all started working at another radio station in St. Louis, KSTL. It was a gospel music station. And at that point, I saw an ad in Broadcasting Magazine. I don't even know if that magazine exists anymore. Have you ever heard of it?
I may have, as a matter of fact. But
It was called Broadcasting Magazine. And you'd look at the back of that magazine, and there were ads in there all the time from radio stations looking for talent. And I saw this ad for KOMU-TV in Columbia, Missouri, for a booth announcer. And so I called and I said, I'd like to come for an audition. And Monty Gerwitt was the program director at the time. And he said, okay. So I go down, I drive down to Columbia, Missouri. I didn't know where Columbia, Missouri was. I was a little farm boy. So I got in my little Dodge Dart, which could barely make it 20 miles. And I drove 150 miles to Columbia and the television station. And I auditioned. He had me do some commercials. And he said, and this was for a booth announcer, where back then everything was done live. You sat for the station breaks, you sat in a little booth kind of like this, and you had the script in front of you. You read whatever commercials were during the breaks. And then, this is KOMU-TV, Channel 8, Columbia. It's 8 o'clock, and the temperature is whatever it was. So anyway, I applied for that job, and a couple weeks went by. I didn't hear anything, and all at once I got a phone call. And he said, this is Monty Gerwitt. We decided we want to hire you if you want the job. And I said, oh, sure, sure. He said, now, what do you need as far as a salary? Now, remember, this was almost 50 years ago, okay? And I thought, if you worked in television, you really made big, big money. And so I said, oh, I think I need about $500 or $600 a week. And he goes, oh, well, we'd like to hire you, but that's way out of our range. I said, well, what are you offering? He said, 100 a week. I said, you got it.
Oh, that's crazy.
Oh, anyway, there wasn't much bargaining there. I took the job, and it was the best move I'd ever made in my life, I guess, because I was there for 40 years. And most of that 40 years was just absolutely wonderful. I had, for the majority part of the time, I had the best boss you could ever ask for, Tom Gray. He's passed away now, God rest his soul. But he was just, he was the best person you could ask to work for. And 40 years just kind of went by like a snap of a finger.
When you're having fun, you're doing what you love to do.
Yeah, we had fun. I mean, there were times that it wasn't fun, and you have a lot of fussing and arguing, but in the great scheme of things, it was great.
Well, I want to dive into more of this. I think what we're going to do is let's take a small break.
Okay.
And we'll come back for segment number two, and we'll talk a little bit more about your time with Pepper and Friends. And I remember you as the weather guy, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We'll get into that, too.
Okay.
And it's Public Perspectives on AM 1340 KXEO. And welcome back to our second segment here on Public Perspectives this morning. Special in-studio guest, Mr. Paul Pepper, and James Mauser has made the trip along. And Mr. Pepper, thank you. And I know I'm supposed to call you Paul, but I keep reverting back.
Oh, no, Mr. Hey, I'm old enough as it is. Yet the Mr. makes me feel like much older.
Oh, no, but certainly have a lot of respect for you, sir. And so glad you made the trip in here.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's my pleasure.
We were talking a little bit about your career at KOMU, and I remember tuning on the station as a young man and watching you do the weather quite a bit.
Yeah, yeah, the weather. as I said, I was hired there as a booth announcer, so I used to do commercials. We did, everything was live. There was nothing recorded. Everything was done live. And we would do the live commercials in the breaks, and then during the newscast, and many times during the breaks also, we would do live car commercials out in the studio, or washing machine commercials, or just whatever, you name it, and we would do it. But I used to do the weather also, and many times there would be a live spot, a live on-camera spot in the middle of the weather. So you would do the first part of the weather, and then we'd go to a graphic with temperatures, and then I'd run to the other end of the studio, do the live spot, I remember, for Bill Pearl Motors in Mexico. Is Bill Pearl Motors still here?
Pearl Motors is still around.
Yeah, okay, it used to be Bill Pearl Motors.
Yes, yes.
And I used to do their live commercials. And they used to sponsor the weather, the 6 o'clock weather, either on Tuesday or Wednesday, or whether, I remember it was two nights a week. So you do the first part of the weather, then you go do the Bill Pearl commercials on camera, and then as they went to the live, the graphic of the location of Bill Pearl, and you're still talking, you run back over to the weather board and come out with the temperatures. But as far as our weather, we used to get it off of the AP wire, you know, and it would tell you where the fronts are, the highs and the lows. And then we had this weather board that on camera I would write with the black magic marker. But beforehand, we had this yellow grease pencil, and you draw the lines on the real light, the highs and the lows and the fronts and the temperatures. So it didn't show up on camera. But when you're standing next to it and you got the magic marker, you're seeing it. You're saying, well, there's a cold front that extends down from Montana through Arizona into California, and then you draw it on there. And people used to think, boy, that guy's got a great memory. He really knows what he's talking about. I didn't know what the heck I was talking about. And I was just, you know, I was reading what was what we got over the AP wire. And you draw all this stuff on the map. And I remember that we had magic markers that just leaked all over the place. And you'd have that black ink all over your hands by the time you were done. But it was fun. It was fun doing that. And the temperature, I shouldn't say this, but this is what it was. We'd have temperatures around the state. And, you know, we had Mexico, Moberly, Marshall, all those were on our state map. But we didn't get temperatures for those. We would get the temperature for Columbia and for Jefferson City. And I remember when I was learning to do the weather, I said, well, what do we do about these other cities? They say, make them up. So
plug them in.
we would just vary the temperature a little bit, you know. And I guess it was kind of cheating, but that's what you did, you know. If it was 55 in Columbia, well, you go up to Moberly, and maybe it was a degree cooler up in Moberly.
Sure, it's up north, right? Further, right.
But that was the way it was done back then. They think they're a lot more accurate now, but when I listen to the forecast and I hear all these experts giving the forecast, and then the next day it's totally different, I think, you know what? They are no more accurate today than they were when we were doing it.
Yeah, and I think we're all guilty of plugging in numbers before in the forecast, no doubt. One thing that I can remember, too, is that you were a great advocate for pets in the Humane Society.
Yeah.
You've done a lot for them. Where did your love for animals come
from? I always had a dog.
Yeah.
I grew up, always had a dog, and I loved them. And when I started doing the weather at KOMU, I thought about doing a pet corner with the Humane Society. And we had a general manager at that time. His name was Bob Dressler. And I went to him and I said, could we do something with animals? We call it the pet corner. And I said, we could have the Humane Society bring a dog in a couple of times a week. And he goes, what is this, a circus?
This is
the news. This isn't a circus. And I said, well, can we at least try it? He said, okay, we'll try it for 2 weeks. I think he said 2 weeks or 3 weeks, something like that. And he said, if we get too many negative responses, it's gone. I said, okay. Well, we did the pet corner, and after the first couple of times, I mean, people just loved it. And I think they're still doing the pet corner on KOMU from when we started it almost 50 years ago.
You were an innovator back then, and what a great idea to get a lot of pets adopted around the area. And I just can remember watching the cute little puppies on there and thinking, man, I wish I could adopt all of them, but you can't. What a great thing you've done there.
Yeah, the pet corner, that's something that hopefully will live on for a long, long time.
Absolutely. I'd like to talk a little bit more about Pepper and Friends. What did it take to get a show like that ready? Because you did it on a daily basis, did you not?
It was an hour show, 5 days a week. And, I couldn't have done it without this guy sitting right next to me, Uncle James. We did everything. We sold the show. We sold all the commercials in the show. For the most part, we wrote the spots. We booked all the guests. We scheduled everything. I mean, we worked our tail end off. We'd go out and sell it, and then we'd do the schedule. Usually, we tried to sell it for six-month contracts, 6 months at a time. The salespeople love that because, you know, here we sold it, they got the commission on it. We didn't get any commission on it, but that was okay with me. That was okay because I felt like we were doing something that was keeping this show alive and keeping the show on the air. And we were, when we went off, we were sold out. We remain, I think we were sold out probably, I don't know, the last 8-9 years, we were sold out with sponsorship. And that was a real good feeling. But Uncle James over here, he did the kids' corner. Uh-huh. But he did so much behind the scenes that he really never, ever got the credit for. Because he was a person that could organize very well. I'm kind of sloppy that way, you know. I can go get things done, but James is the organizer, and he would keep things in order and straight for us. I remember sometimes I get pretty upset because I said, my God, how much organization do we need here? But he organized everything. And I remember when we went to, when the internet came in, I was resistant. I didn't want a computer. What do I need a computer for? I talk to people on the phone or face to face, but you know, I realized things were changing. You had to have a computer. And so I remember the first booking. In fact, you did the first computer booking for Pepper and Friends, and he booked somebody on the show, and he said, he turned around, his desk was one side of the office, mine was the other. He turned around and he goes, okay, we just made history. We just did our first internet booking, not talking to anybody on the phone.
It was easier, wasn't it?
Yeah. you know, and it grew from there. We did ended up doing a lot of bookings on with the computer, with email, back and forth. But then, so each day we would we'd do the format for the show a day ahead of time, and then at 7 o'clock in the morning we would get together with the crew and our director, and we'd go over the format, what we had on. If we were going to rehearse a musical bit with guests, we would have them there. What, they came in about 7:30, I think. And we would have about an hour for rehearsal before the show. Most of the time, Pepper and Friends was done as a live show. Towards the last several years, for some reason or another, we would record, and I can't remember, it was logistics, but by the way they were doing the news in the studio also, but we would record, and just as the show ended, it was coming on the air. So if the show was running at what, 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock or 11, I can't remember. We hopped all over the time there for a while.
Did.
But let's say if it was coming on at 11 o'clock, we would start recording at 10. And just as we said goodbye, doing the show started on the air.
Wow.
And I don't remember what the reason for that was. I prefer to do it live, because when you did it live, you know, it was just the fact that you were talking to the people at that instant that you were doing it.
Sure. And it feels just a lot better doing it live.
Yes, it does.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
And then sometimes station managers like to mess around with things, and something that's organic and is working well, and they think they have good ideas, and it doesn't work out so
well. Yeah. We were fortunate until almost the very end, they left us alone. They really didn't say anything to us. They pretty much, it was hands off until towards the end. And then that's when all heck broke loose.
If you will.
Yeah. But still, all in all, you look back over it, it was a wonderful, wonderful run with Pepper and Friends.
It was a terrific show, and something that'll be special in my heart forever.
You used to watch it with your grandma?
I did. You know, I'd sit on the couch with my grandma, Regina Talkin was her name, and she's not with us anymore, but we...
Grandma Regina.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. And she just loved you guys. I mean, I can remember her talking about, you know, she couldn't wait to watch Pepper and Friends every day, and we'd go over and sit down on the couch, and everyone had to be quiet because Pepper and Friends was coming on. And,
oh, we had some important information.
That's right. But it was so totally great. I want to ask you, you know, are there any crazy things that happened live on the air while you were doing Pepper and Friends?
Oh, my goodness. There were so many things that happened.
How much time do you have?
There were so many things that happened. We had, one day we were having the circus on, and we were going to do, the circus was in town, and the whole show was going to be the circus, and we were going to do it out back of the station. Well, it started raining, so we couldn't do it outside, but the circus was our whole show. So in a very short period of time, they moved everything out of the studio. They took down the news set, everything out of the studio. We had just a big empty studio, and KOMU's studio is pretty big. And we set up trampolines in there. We had the elephants came in, the monkeys came in, and in the cars, the Shriners were riding their things around. But anyway, the elephant, we had the elephant on a couple of times, wasn't it? And the elephant came in, and it made a mess on the floor. Mm-hmm. Remember, we cleaned that up. Another time we had an elephant on, we were cooking, and the elephant was just off the side of the cooking set, and James always tasted. Well, it was Mary Thompson. She was the dairy lady. She was cooking, and then all at once, this tusk of the elephant comes in and starts taking the food off of the off of the table
we're
cooking.
James's job over here.
I had to slap it away. This is mine.
Yeah, the elephant. The other time we had the circus on. We had a monkey, and the monkey's name was Zephyr, and Zephyr loved to be held and cuddled, and James was sitting on the couch doing the weather, and Zephyr was in the middle, and all at once Zephyr jumps off the couch and over to James, and James says, "Oh, cute Zephyr, so nice." And this was on the air, and this was live, and I don't know what happened, but Zephyr started punching James in the face. Yeah. I mean, really punching him. You started screaming.
I did. I mean, I was on, I was on live television being punched by a monkey, and it was a strong chimpanzee.
Yeah.
He just smacked my face. I fell back, and he was jumping on my stomach, and I was trying to do the weather.
Right.
Paul was laughing so hard, and I was being attacked on the air.
Right. Now, that happened the next year, and this is the honest truth. The next year, the circus came back into town, but it went to Jefferson City, and they asked us to be honorary ringmasters. So we go down to Jefferson City, and we're walking there, and all at once, here comes the trainer with Zephyr. And I said, "Oh, there's Zephyr." And Zephyr held his little hands out, and you remember James, for James, "Come and pick me up, come and pick me up." So James goes over to pick up Zephyr, and Zephyr didn't miss a beat. He remembered last year he punched James in the nose, and he punched him right back in the nose again.
Zephyr ended up for you.
Yeah. What I did to him, maybe I was hairier, I don't know.
So those are some of the things that happened. I mean, oh gosh, I look back over it all. I remember we had we used to have dance arts on, the little dancers, and they were in the middle of doing a tap dance number, and all at once, one of the flats, you know what a flat is? It's a false background in the studio. One of them just started falling right over on the dancers. So James and I ran in, held the flat up, and those little kids didn't miss a beat. They just kept on dancing, even though the set was falling apart in front of them. I think what happened was they got a little bit close to it where they were dancing and did their kick up, and it knocked one of the supports off the set and started to fall on them. Just a few of the things that happen.
Sometimes they're better than adults at keeping their focus
whenever
they're performing. But
yeah,
that's terrific. I think what we'll do is we'll take our second break here, guys, and I want to come back and talk about your radio program that's going on now.
Okay.
So we'll take a break here. It's Public Perspectives on AM 1340 KXEO. Welcome back to the final segment of Public Perspectives here this morning on AM 1340 KXEO. Mr. Paul Pepper, James Mauser in the studio, and we've reminisced about a lot of different things, but you guys are still, you still have a radio show going
on. Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
KBIA. Is it okay to mention KBIA on KXEO?
Hey. Yes.
Yeah. When Pepper and Friends was coming to an end, the last 2 or 3 months, I got a call from Mike Dunn, who is the general manager of KBIA, and he wanted to talk to me. I went over there, and we visited a little bit, and he said, "How would you like to do something, do a Pepper and Friends type of program on KBIA?" And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" So he said, "Well, 10 minutes a day." I said, "Yeah, I would love to do that." I said, "But I don't want to come in every day, because I live 35 miles from Columbia." He said, "Well, we can record it." Okay. So what we decided on, and they're KBIA, they're a wonderful group of people, just like you people over here.
Well, thank
yeah,
you.
Just like you people here. So what we worked out was we go in, we do Radio Friends twice a month, and we'll record 2 weeks of programs in one afternoon. And then they air at 8:50 in the morning, Monday through Friday. And basically what Radio Friends is, it's the radio version of what Pepper and Friends was, a very minuscule version. But then it also runs on KMOS TV. So Travis McMillan, our director of Radio Friends, and he will take four of the 10-minute segments. Is it four of them?
I believe.
Yeah. Four. And puts them together as a half-hour show, and then it runs on KMOS, I think, three times a week on mm-hmm. Sunday.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Okay. But it's just great. And I hope Radio Friends continues forever because it's just a really nice gig and they're nice people to work with over there.
And that's refreshing. Absolutely.
Yes.
Our general manager and his wife was talking a little bit off the air about watching Radio and Friends on TV. And I said, I didn't even know they had it on television.
Yeah, that started about a year or so ago. And you know what amazes me? How many people tell me that they see it on KMOS.
Right.
Yeah. And the number of people that tell me they hear Radio Friends on KBIA. As I said, KBIA is a wonderful station to work for. And Mike Dunn is the kind of guy that if he tells you something, it's written in stone. You can trust him. Just like as I was telling you about the general manager I had at KOMU for 25 years, Tom Gray. Tom Gray was the kind of guy that his word was golden. And when he told you something, you didn't have to second guess it. You know, there aren't a lot of people like that anymore. You didn't have to second guess it. You didn't have to ask for anything in writing. It was done. It was a handshake and it was done. And Mike Dunn is that way too from KBIA. And what I hear of your people over here at KXEO, which is a family-owned radio station, that's wonderful. That's absolutely wonderful, and I wish you continued success here. Because to have a station that is owned by people who live in the community makes so much difference. It makes all the difference in the world because the roots are put down here.
Absolutely. And we want to see local radio like your show and ours stay around for a long time to come. And you've made the trip here this morning. I know you had an issue with your ankle. And you...
You know, I'm 72, okay? Yeah. I have been in perfect health.
Right.
For 71 and a half years. And then back in November, I had to have my ankle fused. I got 10 screws in there and two plates. And when I go through airport security, they're gonna slam me up against the wall.
No.
And then I got this awful attack of vertigo and was in the hospital for about four days, but I had promised you that I was going to be here today, and I wasn't going to back out of that, even if they had to bring me up here on a stretcher.
Another man of his word, Mr. Paul Pepper and James Mauser, thank you guys for making the trip here this morning, and I want to invite you back again, because
sure.
I'm loving to sit around and chat, and I think it's just terrific, and thank you guys so much for coming in.
Yes, you got my number, call. You got the email address, call, and I wish you continued success at KXEO.
Thank you so
happy
much.
70.
Thank
happy
you.
Happy 70, Matt. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah,
guys.
You don't look 70 years old.
Oh, no, I'm not. No. You guys both look terrific, and thank you guys so much.
Hey, you're
for
welcome.
Doing this.
It's our pleasure.
This has been another edition of Public Perspectives on AM 1340 KXEO.